Lifestyle matters. It's more than money. Welcome to another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR. You're here with Dave and Andrew this week. Andrew, thanks for joining me. I know Faisal's away and isn't able to be here today. It's always a pleasure.
It is a pleasure, and thanks for having me. You know, once again, it's the first of the year, but we keep doing it a little bit more and more.
Yeah, no, that's great. You know, we've got, I think we've got a terrific show today. We ended the quarter, last quarter, with a lot of volatility. That scared a lot of people. We've gotten through the first month of this year. January was a pretty good month and a sharp rebound. Yeah. The question is, what comes next, right?
Well, and volatility,
yep,
I think, is a fair comment. It's here to stay.
Yep.
You know, and even this week alone, like we had a pretty good week for the most part, and there's a, you know, here's Friday.
Yeah.
And what happens?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Thursday, Friday kicks in. We see some volatility again.
That's
now
right.
We're gonna have a great guest join us today. We've got Philip Peterson coming in the middle of the show, and Philip is going to be talking about what to expect in 2019. What's the math tell us, right? We got to separate the math and the emotion. And Philip can speak English on this topic and help us all understand it.
English is not a second language for Phil, and he does a great job at actually going through this with individual.
Let's talk about sort of the water cooler chats. You know, as we were thinking about preparing for the show and sort of reviewing the week, it was an interesting week. It didn't have a ton to do with the market. The kinds of conversations we were having when, you know, you and I sat down and thought about it a lot were about income questions. So, you know, as you're obviously preparing your portfolio, as you're moving into retirement, as you're living in retirement, you need to sort of draw down on your portfolio, on your savings to support your lifestyle. And there is a ton of confusion around that, right? How much, first of all, do I need to draw? Is that amount sustainable? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I get it from if I've got a bunch of different kinds of accounts? Where should I draw it from a tax perspective? All of these kinds of questions. And so we kind of thought let's maybe have a conversation about that.
Well, and a lot of that has to do with just sheer not understanding of what retirement's going to be like and how that's going to fit into their plans. And you know, the first question I tend to ask when we go through this is, how much do you need? Is that monthly or annually? Because you know what? We have to figure that out. We have to start a base somewhere and figure out what we're going to do.
Well, you raise an interesting point right off the bat. How much you need seems like an obvious question that you would have an answer to if you're moving into retirement. It's not obvious.
No, it's not. It never is. And, you know, there's a bunch of fear things involved there. You know, once I'm leaving the workforce, I've earned this much in my entire life. I've gotten used to taking my paycheck. Now I'm going to draw it from somewhere else. That's a fear factor. And then, of course, I don't know what I'm spending on, and most people don't, and it's not a bad thing. It's just, you know,
it's a reality.
Groceries. It's a reality.
Yeah. And then, you know, you also said something interesting, the way people think about it. Some people think in pre-tax income, some communicate in after-tax income. Let me be clear about this. Nobody lives on pre-tax income. Everybody lives on after-tax income.
That's right.
So tax becomes an important piece of the conversation. But so let's talk about this how much. I had a meeting with a couple this past week, and we were trying to dial that number in.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're pre-retirement, so they're still thinking about it. And it was a difficult conversation for them. They hadn't really stopped to think about it. The immediate response had to do, well, this is how much we spend today, right? Well, yeah, but you got savings. You might have RSP contributions in there. You could have kids, you know, still going to school. There are a whole bunch of stuff mixed in there that may, in fact, not reflect what your lifestyle cost is.
That's right.
Right? So pausing for a moment and taking a look at what your current spend is on the things that you currently spend on. But then here's the issue. Faisal and I have talked over the past couple of weeks about this exercise, collecting the 31 things that you're going to do. So with this couple, because they were struggling a little bit with it, we pulled out, we got on the whiteboard, and I said, okay, what I want each of you to do is your homework is to go home and separately think about the 31 things that you want to do in retirement. Okay? Now, don't compare those lists until you're done, until you've got them locked down. And then what you're going to do is compare them, and you're going to see that there will be some that are, separate as individuals, and there'll be some that'll be overlapping. But then you can start to put some cost to it, right? Whittle it down to figure it out and put some cost to it. And that seems like a bit of a daunting task. It doesn't have to be a daunting task, but it gives you a sense then of what this retirement lifestyle is going to look like. What would you envision? Now, that's really important to a guy like you as a certified financial planner, because until we have that number, right, it's real difficult to take the process any further.
This is it. And you know, those 31 items, you know, they don't have to be all in one shot. They could be over the course of your retirement. And think about it, people are living longer, so living 20 and 30 years into retirement is not an undauntable task. It just seems big right now because I'm going to write them all down, and this is what I plan to do. And maybe some of them will change. Maybe some will be the same. So it's okay.
Of course they will. Okay, so let's say a couple or an individual, whatever the case may be, gets their number dialed in. Now we know the lifestyle cost. You know, the second thing that we always get is can I do it? So if we talk to people, the question is always, well, will I have enough? Am I going to outlive my money? Am I going to run out? So the question is it sustainable? Once you've got the number, is it sustainable?
Well, and that's when we really have to sort of put pen to paper and look at things carefully. And what I mean by that is, okay, now we figured out a number. What are the savings that we have? What are the other items, whether it be pensions, Canada Pension Plan, Old Age Security, or even the Guaranteed Income Supplement? What are the next steps in regards to figuring out what that income is going to be? Because these are all little buckets that are going to pour in to that paycheck that you're going to get once a month or twice a month.
What's your thought about, CPP and OAS, Canada Pension Plan, and Old Age Security, people tend to discount as small amounts. From a financial planning perspective, maybe you can comment on that.
Well, I don't think that they're small amounts. I think they add to a bigger nest egg moving forward. There's a lot of fear that the CPP won't have money, and that was done 15 years ago. We're not in that same boat anymore. I'm very confident that that's going to move forward, and we're going to have that in the future for the next generation or two.
But it can have a material impact when you're financial planning. It can have a material impact in the sustainability of somebody's portfolio and somebody's savings.
Absolutely it can, because you know, if you're drawing CPP, that means your portfolio is not having to sustain as heavy a payout on a monthly basis or a quarterly and annually, however you do it. So that being said, if you have those pieces in place, it'll certainly make your life way easier by knowing those things. And they're really not hard things to know. It's just time of contacting Service Canada and getting that info.
And, I, you know, we get a lot of questions, and you in particular get a lot of questions about when should I take my CPP or my OAS?
Yeah, and you know what? That's a bit of a moving target and a whole bunch of different reasons for it. So I don't know if we want to go into too much detail here. You know, generally speaking, I tend to think that 65 is the magic number. But if you have health issues, if you have other things or longevity concerns, maybe you want to take it earlier. And at the same token, perhaps you may not have as much savings or whatever else. Maybe you want to guarantee that income in the future and take it later. So there's sort of a whole range of different people, and there's a whole range of different choices to be made as you near closer to that.
Yeah, and it requires some analysis. I think that's the point I wanted to say, right? Personal circumstances are really what determines when you should be taking, let's just talk about CPP for a minute, because everybody says, well, I want to take it early because I got a bird in the hand. Right, but that might not be the best mathematical decision.
Well, and it probably isn't, but we have to look at all angles on it, and you have to determine a couple things, not just tax, but you have to figure out where, how much it is, how much I'm going to get. And a lot of people continue working after they start at age 60. And what's really funny about that is I've had, over the course of my career, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to take it earlier, and I'm going to give you the check. I'm going to invest the money, and I'll have more afterwards. I have yet to see a check from a client to deposit their account on a monthly basis, and here's my CPP. It never happens because now I've got it. I'm going to use it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Now we're quickly running out of time here, but the last piece is we often get, where do we get it? I mean, you had a really cool couple of experiences this week where you were able to show people exactly where you're going to draw from. Is it a registered account, an RSP, a RIF, LIRA? Is it a corporate account? Is it personal? You know, is it just savings, non-registered money? And how much you're going to take from each of these areas, and why, from a tax perspective?
Well, and one of the key factors that we sort of walked with is one of the questions that, you know, most people don't think about is what do you plan for the future with that money too, Dave? And what I mean by that is my plan to spend it all and it's a race to zero, or is my plan to spend it, do well, but I expect to have an estate for the future of my children? And without figuring out those questions, I can't backtrack and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. But think about it. If you own a closely held business, perhaps you're paying yourself a dividend. Well, now you're up for dividend tax credit. That causes a new problem because you've got the dividend tax credit. So
you get the gross
income,
up,
the gross up on that income will actually affect your OAS, old age security. So you could potentially get a clawback. So we have to look at all those pieces and then show what the tax is going to be and how we're going to pull it out. And so we can best derive the tax or beat the tax man the best we can. yet still providing a decent income and not trying to pull as much against your portfolio too quickly because needs growth.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the you live on after-tax income, not pre-tax.
Okay. Exactly.
There's a lot to do there. And I mean, hopefully if you're listening, you're taking away that there's lots of different options, and that's where strategy becomes important. And there are answers to these questions. So you don't have to sit there and guess and feel the uncertainty of that. There's answers to the questions. Anyways, this is part and parcel of what we're going to be talking about at our upcoming seminars. Now, it's important to note that the next one is on Tuesday, February the 19th, but it's fully booked. So both the both sessions are booked. So really, registrations are we're taking now for March 26th. That's Tuesday, March 26th. It's going to be at the Crowfoot Co-op Wine and Spirits. 7 o'clock is already full, unfortunately. 8:30 is open for registration. So you need to reserve a seat. Call us at 966-8400, or you can go online at morethanmoneyradio.com, and you can register there. Now, don't go away after the break, because we're going to be talking to Philip Peterson about what's going on in the markets these days. What can we expect for 2019 after a very strong start to the year? You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.